Executive Committee recommends below the line. Executive Committee recommends Monkfish. Continue on with Amendment 6, modifying days at sea, including leasing and catch shares, and also do the required legal action of setting specs for 2014 and 15 and 16. Also recommending doing sturgeon. The chairman has created an ad hoc sturgeon committee. We should be getting the biological opinion by the end of this year, and then the committee would have a couple meetings to look at the opinion, comment, and recommend some options to the council and the service. So that's about a three-month collateral action. Sea scallops, major issue. The first issue is to, instead of going to two-year adjustments, the scallop committee wants to go to one-year adjustments. The executive committee had some discussion of that. It really curtails holding, curtails doing anything else, like transferring quota and a bunch of other things if you're doing continuing management. Nevertheless, we have been doing continuous management, and they're recommending with reservation that, number one, still be approved annual management. Also required to do annual responsibilities relating to estimating yellowtail with the service. And also, I think if the groundfish committee, if the framework 48 in its final approval has a window pane sub-allocation to the scallop fishery, then the scallop fishery would have to prepare the AMs. That would be required. Also support habitat omnibus amendment, participate in the NIMS peer review of the sea scallop survey, and we're going to try to complete the evaluation of the limited access IFQ program, similar to the way we evaluated the sector program. We're looking forward to evaluating the IFQ program and scallops. And five, the executive committee is not recommending that we look at the mixed stock exception. So under scallops, the executive committee is recommending one through four. Executive committee recommends items 6 through 9 be below the line and not be considered in 2013. That's IFQs for scallops, looking at different strategies for yellowtail flounder, Amendment 17, measures to address the 5% allocation, and modifying the small dredge exemption program, recommending below the line. In herring, there are a number of important actions in herring. Spec package, prepare a framework to establish river herring caps, prepare a framework to establish the industry funding monitoring program. It was approved in Amendment 405, and the details of how that would be implemented have to be resolved within a year of implementation of Amendment 5. So that's important. Also important is in regards to the legal, the lawsuit, we need to prepare an amendment to consider river herring and shad as stocks in the fishery. Mid-Atlantic is also doing that. So those are four major, four very large detailed actions, and Executive Committee is recommending they all be tackled and asking that they be prioritized, probably just as they are there, but certainly the committee is going to need direction how to tackle those four things. Recommending that we continue to work on the SBRM amendment as a collateral duty for staff, and NIMS is in the lead and will bring alternatives to the council as they develop. Red crab, collateral duty. We will prepare a spec package for the council's consideration next year and work with NIMS to do that as well. Habitat, major action, continue our habitat amendment and then proceed with our deep sea coral amendment. Continue to support research steering. Continue to support SSC activities, continue enforcement safety and VMS committees. And that is the extent of the executive committee's straw man. On the next page, you'll see that there are several other items, and we can the staff can do one of these items. They can either proceed with ecosystem-based management, proceed with a whiting skate committee and do both limited entry whiting and limited entry skates, as well as set the specs for for skates in 2014 and 15, or do a hagfish FMP, or look at issues and recommendations for improving monitoring across all the plans. The NRCC baseline, we will support NIMS activities as they take the lead in that as a collateral duty. So basically, the executive committee looked at ecosystem-based management, whiting skates, limited entry, hagfish, new FMP, and developing an overall monitoring, improving monitoring strategy, and are recommending to the council that we do whiting and skates, establish a whiting and skate committee, and do both whiting and skate limited entry, as well as the spec packages for skates as one of those six major options that we can do. Basically, the other thing the executive committee talked about, while they recommend doing whiting and skates, they would like to do something with ecosystem-based management. We just don't have the resources. So, and it's a real if we are level funded in 2013, or if we can get some additional funding, we may be able to do some contract work to help the council move forward with ecosystem-based management in some form or another. But as it stands now, the executive committee would choose to recommend that whiting and skates limited entry be tackled as opposed to ecosystem-based management. So I think that's roughly it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Paul. As Paul indicated, this is the recommendation coming out of the executive committee. I am going to go to the audience and get feedback from them on any of the parts of this that you want to comment on. And if you want to comment on several areas, that's fine too. But I will go get public input and then bring it back to the council for final determination. Ron Smolowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the scallop options are good as far as moving forward with the annual framework. My concern is the habitat amendment. It says completion 2014. We're going to definitely need access to the northern part of closed area 2 in the next framework if we're going to avoid a falling off a cliff in both fisheries. It's 2014 could be a lot worse than the projections for 2013. How does this work into that expected completion 2014? Are we going to have a parallel process where within, as we develop the next scallop framework, we could plan that the habitat amendment is going to be in place for that fishing year? I mean, what was the discussion on that particular issue?
Paul.
This may not help, but I think it's implementation early 2014. I don't know if that helps. Am I right on that? Somewhere between January and March or early spring, it will be implemented. So we'll know in 2013, the end of it, what's available.
Terrific. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience comment? Judd?
Judd Crawford, Pew Environment Group. I'd like to strongly urge you to pull ecosystem-based fisheries management back up into the list of priorities. If I'm not mistaken, this council has identified ecosystem-based fisheries management at least twice as a priority in 2009 and again for 2012. And as soon as things really looked bad in terms of the ecosystem, in terms of the stocks being in trouble, ecosystem-based fisheries management went in the direction opposite from where, from a scientific point of view, it seems like it ought to have gone. It went off the list of priorities. It stalled. There's so many indications that the ecosystem is in trouble and that we need to be looking at the interactions between the different stocks that you manage, the interactions between the stocks that you do manage and those that may not be important directly for fisheries, but they're important to the species that you're harvesting, that I think it's a real mistake not to make this a high priority. If you keep putting it off each time you get in trouble, you're going to keep getting in trouble. This is an important priority. It's something that's receiving a lot of attention in the scientific community. You've got an incredibly strong group at the Science Center working on this from the science side. I urge you to get this moving and make it a priority before things get worse than they are now. Thank you.
Ted.
Ted Platts, Newport, Rhode Island, Gilnutter. Yeah, I'd like to urge the council to move forward with skate management, skate whiting. We have a lot of issues in skate. Skate is an increasingly important stock. It's actually one of the stocks that's leading to the imbalance in the ecosystem that the previous speaker mentioned, and the fact that we're managing it as a complex directly creates that imbalance. You know, we reduce our harvest of winter skate and little skate to help out the other skate in the complex that are not doing as well. Yet there's no correlation between harvesting less of one and better numbers with the other. In fact, we have an overabundance of skate out in the ocean, and we need to reduce that, and we can't as long as we manage skate as a complex. Winter skate, there's a lot of ways to do it, but I think it'd be very productive to look at where we should put these skate. A number of the skates should be probably in the multi-species, perhaps not even have an allocation. And winter skate should most likely be moved into the monkfish fishery. You go monk fishing, you get a bycatch of winter skate, and you use a 12-inch tie-down net. You go skate fishing, you have a bycatch of monkfish, you use the exact same net. They should go together. Not managing to get them together is like not managing cod and haddock together. And we're not going to be able to address these problems until we make skate a priority. And it goes directly to the previous speaker's concern about the imbalance in the ecosystem. Skate is out of balance, and it's under-harvested in the case of winter skate, and we need to deal with that, and we can't until we make it a priority. And we break up that complex. Putting them together was a bad idea, and I think that management plan speaks to the importance of putting the right stocks together within an FMP and how critical that is. Thank you.
Emily.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Emily Litzinger with Environmental Defense Fund. EDF urges the council to make Amendment 18 a priority in 2013. We need to move forward on developing this amendment. The council has been grappling with this amendment for nearly 3 years now. We've set a control date. We've gone through the scoping process. Now is time to move forward with developing this amendment. There's a lot of expertise as well as experience in developing these measures in this region, in this room, as well as elsewhere that we can draw from. The council can tailor accumulation limits to the characteristics of the sector program. The outcome does not need to hurt current investments. We urge you to please move forward with this amendment and make it a priority. From the beginning, EDF has felt that accumulation limits are a critical component of sector programs. They avoid excessive consolidation, excessive concentration, and prevent individuals and companies from exerting excessive control over fish quotas. So we urge you to please support moving Amendment 18 and forward and prioritizing it next year. We would also like the council to prioritize the development of the Habitat Omnibus Amendment and achieving a broader range of management benefits from the closed area network. We believe that it's critical to enhancing groundfish fishery productivity as well as maximizing societal net benefits from the groundfish stocks. Benefits from these strategically designed closed areas can improve spawning protection, critical groundfish habitats, and build resilience to climate change. So we hope that the council will make sure that the habitat omnibus amendment is a priority as well. And we also would urge the council to move developing a strategy for improving monitoring in all FMPs. It would be great to see that priority above the line. Monitoring is a fundamental component of any fishery management plan, and we urge the council to make that more of a priority. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Bill Chapralis. I belong to the Northeast Coastal Community Sector and have two vessels, fishing vessel Ruby and the Easy Does It. And I would like to see you keep Amendment 18 and as a priority measure. The diversity and accumulation caps are very important to me and a lot of fishermen, which have probably on the record know of as when we had the hearings up and down New England, several meetings. Most of the fishermen were in favor of this Amendment 18. The other thing is I can see that's going to give younger fishermen growing up into this fishery the opportunity to fish. It gives them hope and to be able to diversify the fishery so that everyone has a chance to fish. So I urge you to, like I say, really consider this as being a top priority, Amendment 18. Thank you.
Brett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Brett Tolley with Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance. I'm also from a fishing family out of Massachusetts, so I'll keep it brief. We also support Amendment 18 being a top priority for this upcoming year. I won't repeat what the two previous speakers said. We agree with what was said. I just want to add that with the upcoming cuts of groundfish in this upcoming year, this really adds to the urgency of addressing this issue of thinking through proactively what the fleet will look like coming out of this, this urgency and this disaster. And we see Amendment 18 as being a really critical opportunity to think thoughtfully what we can do proactively to move forward and ensure that we do move forward with having opportunity for the small scale, the medium scale, and the large scale fisheries moving into the future. Thank you.
Drew.
Thank you, Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. I just want to implore you guys to make the Habitat Amendment the utmost of all the priorities before you. There's nothing more you can do to benefit all fisheries than get the Habitat Amendment sorted out. You know, we've heard people talking about amendments being stalled for 3 years. Well, we all know how long the Habitat Amendment has been going on for. It's been going on 10 years now. So we need to get this thing across the finish line, get it done. And so everything we can do to prioritize and make sure all the possible resources are available to get this finished in as timely as a manner as possible, I think that's essential. You know, there are literally millions of dollars on the line here, and also, you know, properly fishing throughout the entire area. As far as some of the other things have been brought up, I want to state our support for the executive committee's decision to keep ecosystem-based management below the line. Every time you guys have put this forward, it's gone nowhere because there's no there at the moment. Everything we've heard right now is a compelling case for a research program and more basic science to be done, and we certainly support that being done. But trying to jump ahead on some kind of management system and draining resources from where we really need to manage today and into what is at this point a theoretical exercise and not anything backed up with any hard data that we can use it in this day and age doesn't make any sense to drain any resources of the limited resources we have. So I would encourage you to keep that below the line.
Aaron?
Aaron Doherty, Penobscot East Resource Center in the Northeast Coastal Community Sector. I want to urge you to support habitat protection and prioritizing the Habitat Omnibus Amendment. I hope that you can also find the resources to make ecosystem-based fishery management a priority. I think that the Northeast Fishery Science Center is prepared to prioritize this as well and to put resources into identifying how to move this forward. I also want to urge your support for Amendment 18 and adopt the Ground Fish Committee's recommendation for this to be a priority. Thank you.
In the back.
Not a technology guy, sorry. Nick Chapralis, I'm with the Northeast Coastal Community Sector. I also would urge you to make Amendment 18 a priority. I won't repeat everything that everyone else has said, but I will add to the fact that I think it's key to keep the small boat fleet in effect. You look at the socioeconomic impact it has on all small coastal community towns, bait, ice, boat builders, fuel, all that. So I think that's another crucial factor in keeping our small boat fleet. I think it's a very important thing. So I would urge you to make Amendment 18 a priority. Thank you.
Anyone else? Chris and then Jeff.
Hi, Chris Wiener, choir in the American Bluefin Tuna Association. I just have a quick question slash comment. Under herring, there's the prepare a framework to establish an industry-funded monitoring program for Amendment 5, target completion 1 year after Amendment 5 implementation. As you all know, Council spent, 5 years working on this document, and it's been, 6 months, I think, roughly, since the document was voted upon, and I think that vote took into consideration a lot of things and a lot of years of work, and so I'm just kind of concerned why the council needs to reopen this, and if it's going to, while I would hope, our hope was that the agency could have done this work, there are other examples of this type of program, but if for some reason the council finds the need to open a framework, I would strongly suggest that you explicitly limit what that framework can do, because there's a lot of people on both sides, all kinds of sides of this issue, and I think the last thing the council should be doing is reopening any kind of debate or discussion about what's going to be done with this program. So I would just, again, urge the council, if it does move ahead with that framework somehow, to be very clear about what it's supposed to do, because as you all know probably better than most, there's been a lot of debate, and I don't think either side really wants to go down that road again. And just as a young fisherman, personally speaking, I would suggest making sure you prioritize Amendment 18, because I'll just say, as a young fisherman, I don't see much hope. I don't see who's going to be fishing in 10, 15 years at this rate. So just personally, on my own opinion, I hope the council takes that seriously. Thank you.
Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jeff Kalin with Lunds Fisheries, Cape May, New Jersey. I just wanted to identify my comments with those of Ron's and Drew in terms of the importance to get the habitat amendment moving so that we might have access to the northern edge in the scallop fishery for obvious reasons. And We also, on herring, I'm disturbed that the council may be determined to go ahead with an amendment to consider river herring and shad as stocks in a fishery, that somehow the lawsuit on Amendment 4 requires that. I don't read it that way, not being a lawyer. I think the council simply needs to justify why it wasn't in Amendment 4, and I think the regional administrator's rationale at the time that Amendment 4 was published, that being that we can do everything we need to do within the herring FMP to protect river herring to the extent that our fishery is having an impact. I think that's all we need to do. I'm disappointed that the Mid-Atlantic Council moved ahead with this amendment. Most of the habitat that affects river herring life history is in state waters. I think it's going to be very difficult to develop reference points around river herring or shad. Certainly the river herring assessment didn't provide any reference points for management. I think we can do everything we need to do with a cap, a sensible cap, perhaps based on something similar to the directed fisheries impact on river herring. I think it's becoming clear to some of the states that in fact, we are not the biggest problem that river herring faces up and down the coast. And the low recruitment years in the Massachusetts and the Rhode Island rivers had more to do with environmental effects, low water and so forth, and that since those environmental parameters have changed, in fact, recruitment is very good in those rivers. So I think we're still being vilified as being a major problem, and I don't see or support a need for the council to move ahead with a stocks and the fishery amendment. I think you just simply have to justify why we didn't do it in Amendment 4. Thank you.
And I ask Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. Just start off real quick saying I'm personally a fan of ecosystem-based management on a whole bunch of levels, but just like to see that move forward at some point, whether you can or not in this action, I'm not sure. But as far as the Amendment 18, I hear a lot of support for it. I think I can throw my support behind it. And under scallops, as you heard me say at the last one, I very much support number 4, the evaluation of the LAGC IFQ program, because I really think that it may help illuminate a whole lot of the issues that you're going to have with Framework 18, particularly with small boats and potential caps and whatnot, to see what happened with our fishery could really be beneficial to everybody. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I'll bring it back to the council. David Pierce. I think what we ought to do is we ought to work through this section by section. I mean, just it's in order, so start with ground fish.
Well, I was going to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to adopt the – well, I have a different approach. Going through it step by step will take an awful lot of time. The executive committee has done good work on this. I would therefore move that – we adopt the executive committee recommendations for 2013 management priorities and to include whiting skate as a priority.
I like your thinking. Do I have a second, Laura Ramsden? Discussion? Doug.
Just seconding, Mr. Chairman, his motion.
What? Oh. It had been seconded.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Okay. John Bullard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the work of the executive committee on this, and I speak in favor of the motion. And I also appreciate the comments from the audience. And I think I just want to talk on one. I mean, like many, I suppose, I wish there were more resources so we could do all of these. But I want to speak in particular on two. One is the Amendment 18, and that is, as I've mentioned to the council before, you know that I've conducted a lot of listening sessions, and Amendment 18 or the issues behind Amendment 18 have been the most, or one of the most frequently raised issues at the listening session. And someone came up to me a couple of weeks ago and said, no one's interested in Amendment 18. And I said, well, I'm interested in it, so that makes one of us. And evidently from the testimony here today, there's more than one of us. So lots of people in the audience here today are interested in it. And as I said, it came up more than anything other than maybe skepticism of science at all the listening sessions. So it is an issue that's on people's minds, and so it deserves to be a priority, and I'm glad it's on there. We need to attend to it. The only thing I might raise is that it's listed under groundfish because of the connection with the sector form of management. And the fear, I suppose, that, you know, as we went to the sector form of management, we would be worried about consolidation and excessive shares, and therefore Amendment 18 is part of that. But I think the issues raised in Amendment 18 and are legitimate, and we might ask ourselves, is that the only fishery where this issue is present? And so as we delve into Amendment 18, which we should do because it's clearly a priority, we might also ask ourselves, are there fisheries, like scallop comes to mind, where this issue is also present? And should we be thinking about the issues underneath Amendment 18 in other fisheries? And so the other one I'd just talk for a second about is a share the desire for the Habitat Amendment to move with all deliberate speed. It's complicated. We want to get it right, but a lot of things depend on it. And so it needs our resources at the regional office and the council. We spent a lot of time on this. A lot of things depend on it, so I'm glad that's a priority as well.
Mary Beth.
Just one quick question, and then I really raised one concern I have. What do we know about hagfish? I mean, it's been below the line. We have no FMP. We have no information either. Does anybody know what the status of that fishery is?
As a result of some work with our Ann Boudreaux, our last staff person, we're collecting data, basically, have a data collection plan, but no FMP. So we are collecting data through the service on that, but just haven't had the resources to proceed further.
Okay, thank you. And then this is not a comment that is against the motion, because in general I think the motion is fine, but I did just want to raise a concern. We had a long discussion under Habitat in September about trying to move that amendment as quickly as possible, and a motion passed. And then the executive committee report that was given at the beginning of this meeting states under item number one that during the Habitat discussion, the committee agreed to incorporate a potential extra March or late July, early August council meeting to speed up completing the amendment if possible. Now, our discussion in September and the motion that passed was to have a special council meeting that would develop and finalize management measures for this amendment, and with the goal of sending it out to public hearing as quickly as possible. Now, that motion did not have a specific time in it. It was to take place following the joint AP PDT meeting, which now has occurred. And it was, as the maker of the motion, it was my intent that we do it in December if possible, but some people thought that was really too quick. And so not having a time in there, it seemed like it might be possible in January. So to see an executive committee recommendation that would move it to March, late July, or early August is quite different than our discussion in September. So I guess my first question is, would be, Mr. Chairman, if you could explain item number one under that report. Am I misunderstanding something, or perhaps just a little bit more information about the committee discussion?
Thank you. Yes, the discussion looked at, and Chris had presented some of the timelines, and looked at all of the pieces that have to flow together in order for the two PDTs to be able to meet and craft the measures to bring before the council. Because Framework 48 and the groundfish fishery was essentially pushed back, as we know we've got a meeting coming up in December to finalize that, that took staff time that had theoretically been allocated towards working on some of the groundfish closed area analysis that, again, feeds into that meeting that would be held between the two PDTs. So that we were just looking at it and saying, realistically, we have to push it off. I don't remember saying that we would be holding it in July and stuff. I think the intent was to hold it as soon as we can get that analysis done and as soon after the two PDTs meet, hopefully sometime in January would be that meeting, and we would have to try and schedule as quickly after that as we could the joint, you know, a meeting to fulfill the motion that was passed at the last council meeting.
Well, thank you for that explanation. It seemed to me that the one thing that was missing in this amendment that needs to get done so that it can go out to public hearing is for the council to decide what management measures would be associated with any habitat areas that are identified in the document. And I don't know what the two PDTs need to do to support that exactly, or what the point of the joint meeting is, but that really is a task for the council to do. And I don't know until we do that what there is to analyze. So perhaps the staff could just explain that part of what this joint meeting that they feel is so necessary to have before we make decisions, why we need to do that.
I'll let Michelle or somebody, but my understanding of it is that, you know, the analysis that's going on now is looking at separately which areas that are currently closed, let's say under the groundfish closure, could be that are essentially mortality closures at the moment, which ones of those can be opened and why, and then what would be the analysis to back up the opening of that. That's one thing being done on the groundfish, and the same thing's being done at based on the parameters that the Habitat Committee is analyzing their closed areas on. The two committees need to come together to essentially overlay what these closed areas are and look at those that are strictly habitat closures and those that are strictly groundfish can be dealt with, but the overlay ones, whichever they are, need to be decided upon jointly. Did I get it close?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And we've obviously been talking about the groundfish elements of the omnibus amendment since April of last year at this point, and that requires the groundfish committee and groundfish staff and the groundfish PDT, and now that we have the closed area tech team as well to be involved, and they've just had other issues to deal with, including the closed area technical team has been working on the groundfish framework. And so we, you know, had previously thought sort of prior to the September council meeting, it wasn't clear how much time they would be able to spend on the framework issue versus the omnibus amendment issue, and they're kind of just getting to the point now where they're really transitioning to that omnibus amendment focused work. And so we need options from them for groundfish areas to change or remove or add before we can bring comprehensive alternatives for the amendment to the council, if that makes sense.
I could be wrong, but to me that sounds like the analysis that supports whether you open or close things. And what my suggestion was the council actually draft those management measures, which is not whether you open or close them. It's what management measures would be associated with any particular identified area, which could be that you close it or you have gear modifications. I mean, that's the section of the document that has, you know, that's not quite there. Maybe you do need to do this work first. I'm unsure, but I do know one thing, that what the executive committee report says is not at all satisfactory. The comment in there of July and August, I mean, that just makes me see red. I just can't even believe that anyone would write such a thing. August. I mean, if you have this meeting in August and the council chooses preferred alternatives and we go out to public hearing with this document in next fall, the chances of us getting it submitted before the beginning of 2014 are highly unlikely. And in addition, how many months is the service going to take to analyze a very complicated document with such significant impacts? A long time. So the idea that we would take this into the summer and not go to public hearing until the fall means, realistically, we're talking about 2015, not 2014. I just don't see how a timeline works any differently. I mean, we need to move faster than that.
Sure.
There is room for accelerating that timeline, but not by a full 6 weeks between council meetings. So a special council meeting can still fit in there to maybe move it up by about 6 weeks. But I think the timeline does allow for the completion of that process with a final decision in September, and you may be able to move that up into August. That's not a big gain, but it's still possible to do that. But I think that timeline also accounts for how complicated the amendment is, and it certainly the timeline that we've shown now leaves sufficient room to get things like the notice of availability published. I think we've allowed 3 or 4 weeks just to get the notice of availability published because of the implications of the amendment. It's could be possible. I don't know. We haven't really worked with Region to see if there's some way of accelerating some of those timeline elements. But so I think that, and it shows for an implementation sometime in May. So if there is an extra council meeting, it's possible to get it up by maybe 6 weeks.
So just a question of clarification for Chris. When you say that, your reference to September was that we would be making final decisions in September of next year. And so you'd be going out to public hearing when?
Oh, over the summer.
Over the
August.
Summer. And then if we were to do that, you'd be submitting the document by the end of the year and giving?
No, sooner than that.
Sooner than that?
Yeah, we would be submitting it in October.
Agency is going to analyze and go through the rulemaking process in 7 months?
No. Now, one thing, if they're area-based measures, they usually aren't as complicated as allocation and reporting measures. So In one sense, and I may be speaking out of turn, because the actual measures should be simpler on the implementation than some of the things we've tried to implement in the past, such as reporting requirements and straightening out catch history and things like that.
Well, that's helpful, those explanations. I think we need to still keep it, you know, our feet to the fire and try to go more quickly. And we cannot afford to get bogged down in any step that we take. I mean, the implications to the groundfish fishery and the scallop fishery are very significant. All of the stuff we've gone through this week on yellowtail, this could help alleviate that. I mean, I think we're all well aware. I mean, the scallop fishery is taking a 30% cut in their allocation, and 30% of the current biomass is on the northern edge. I don't think we really need to repeat all of the implications of this. I think everybody around the table agrees. And it was just very disturbing to me to read the executive committee report that someone would actually suggest, when I thought our discussion in September would have had against taking some action in January, that it be pushed out 6 or 7 months to July or August. I was very disturbed by that language in that report.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a misunderstanding there, because there's not been a push out by 6 or 7 months in the timeline at all.
Thank you for that.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to make the council aware, and because Terry Stockwell had to leave early and was feeling very poorly, the Groundfish Committee passed a motion 6-1 with one abstention to recommend the groundfish priorities in the prioritized order in the motion that we have in front of us. So I just wanted to let the council know about that. On a different topic, and a very important one, my position at the Executive Committee my position now certainly isn't that we should replace our work on EBFM or replace that as a priority with limited access for whiting and skates. I think that's a false choice. I think we can do both, and I think we absolutely have to do both. We have a committee in place to do this work. If you look at phase one, which is what would be worked on this year, it includes establishing goals and objectives, ecosystem production units, and holding workshops. I mean, between the council and the service, we have to find the resources to at least move that forward. I mean, that's a pretty discrete and manageable chunk of work that needs to be done before we can move forward. And I think every one of us at this table at some point has been frustrated with the challenges that we face and the lack of tools we have to address those challenges, and has probably each of us at some point said, if only we had a more ecosystem-based management approach, we would be able to do something different. And there's never a good time to start this. We're playing whack-a-mole, jumping from crisis to crisis, and we've heard time and time again, you have to change everything. You know, this isn't working. And yet, we just keep plugging along. This process of developing ecosystem-based fisheries management is not going to be a short process, but it's just as long if you start today as if you start in 5 years. So we need to do it today. We have each one of us discussed what we're seeing in the ocean, what we're seeing in the fisheries, huge predator populations, changing dynamics, changing water temperatures. We identified this as a priority for several years, and apart from some presentations from the SSC and a white paper, almost nothing has been done. And I don't, I recognize Paul's position, but this is a manageable chunk of work, and I don't think it needs to come off this priority list simply because we also have to deal with limited access in whiting and skates. So I'd move to amend this motion and add simply at the end, and to continue to pursue EBFM Phase 1 as a priority in 2013, with available support from council staff and the regional office.
Seconded by Dave Preble. Discussion on the motion to amend. Paul Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know where to start, but I wish Tom and the whole council could have been at our NRCC meeting when we bring the Mid-Atlantic's wish list, our wish list, ASMFC wish list, and everyone's wish list, because in order to do work, we need to rely on the Science Center to provide data, scientific analysis, the region to provide their administrative expertise, and we just can't do everything. And it's not fair to do everything badly, and when you have a choice of doing everything badly or something's done very well. And that's basically the choice you're in really right now and into the future, is we've got to do less with less. We can't be doing more with less. When we're doing a disservice to the public and will not, you know, have the adequate science. We want updated assessments in every stock every year. We can't get it. So it makes our management terrible, but there's just not enough resources. So from my standpoint, we can't do this. And we have to choose between two from a workload standpoint. If you approve it, we'll do the best we can, and that's about what the expectation we're giving the public is. We'll try to do everything the best we can. And then there's no real sense in having things above the line, below the line. From my perspective, that's the best way to do it, but we can try to do the best we can and see what comes out of it.
Matt McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important to recognize that a lot of the work that we need to do for ecosystem-based management, for that to move forward, and again, I support Tom's notion that at this stage it's a very discrete workload. We need to work on forage, we're working on forage. We need to work on groundfish, we're working on groundfish. We need to work on scallop resources, we're working on scallop resources. I think this is a perfect time to think about including an ecosystem-based approach to stitch these discrete pieces together. We're doing the work already. We're talking about how are we going to help enhance benefits to society. We're talking about how to enhance benefits of the herring resource and everything in between. We're doing it in one regard, we're just not stitching it all together. I support this motion as amended. Thank you.
David Pierce.
Yeah, I'm quite sympathetic to the to Tom's suggested change to the motion. And I say that because we've heard many presentations from the Northeast Fishery Science Center, from Michael Fogarty in particular, who made it very clear to us that this needs to be done, ecosystem-based management, ASAP, with a lot of center involvement, a lot of work behind the scenes and in front of the scenes because of marine spatial planning. And we have been warned a number of times that we have the Ocean Council that is moving forward with marine spatial planning, consistent with the executive order by the president. So we need to, I guess, keep pace with the Ocean Council, wherever that may be right now, with marine spatial planning, but we need to keep pace with them because of this priority issue, a national priority issue for marine spatial planning, which, when translated, means ecosystem-based management. I have, for a long time, supported the concept of ecosystem-based management, even though the term is still a bit fuzzy. Still, it's something that we need to pursue. But I say that with one reservation, that being we have also been advised, and I think it was from the SSC, I think, that in order for us to do ecosystem-based management, we shouldn't kid ourselves, that the national standard guidelines need to be revised in a meaningful way so that we can do ecosystem-based management in a way that Tom just referenced. With those guidelines being the way they are right now, I don't think we will be able to do ecosystem-based management the way we think it needs to be done. Maybe the Magnuson Act itself needs to be revised, but first and foremost, those guidelines that prevent us from, I think, having any chance of implementing a sensible ecosystem-based management program that deals with forage concerns and predator concerns, notably the elasmobranch's influence on our chances of actually rebuilding groundfish to all our target levels. So it needs to be done. Perhaps the best thing to do is to pass the motion as amended and to do what we can and not just put it off. And that, maybe that would also send a message to the National Marine Fisheries Service out of Washington, Silver Spring, that because they are revising the national standard guidelines, although I think the emphasis is number one. But that's the one, number one. They're working on revisions to the national standard number one guideline. Maybe they should revise those guidelines so that indeed we can implement ecosystem-based management that is a form of marine spatial planning that is consistent with the executive order from the president. And we can move forward maybe hand in hand, skipping along the way with our counterparts on the Ocean Council.
Dave Gaethel.
I don't skip and I don't jump. I have a question here, and that is, are we still the Red Crab Whiting Skate Committee?
or they've been split up, or how does the chair propose to handle these various species?
Paul was just indicating that the intent there is to have staff work done on red crab and brought to the council as a committee of the whole. So it won't be a separate committee.
Okay, so whiting and skates will be together. That's still two separate PDTs, two separate advisory panels. It includes setting specs for skates. Quite frankly, I think this is pretty ambitious. And I think there's a good chance that you're not really going to get very far on either of the limited access measures unless you perhaps prioritize one over the other. That would be comment number one. Comment number two would be, while I have been a proponent of ecosystem-based management for years and years, I concur with the statement about National Standard 1. It is almost irrelevant to do anything with this at this point until we see the revised National Standard 1 guidelines, because if they're not substantially revised, we aren't going to do anything. As long as we're still stuck with single-species management, we're never going to make the jump to managing groups of species together. So my suggestion would be to table ecosystem-based management for the moment until you see what the National Standard 1 guidelines are. And then further, to have the council here today prioritize whiting and skates, recognizing the specs for skates have to be done. That's a given. That's going to be the first priority, irregardless. But then prioritize the other two. Which one would you prefer to work on? Because you're not going to get them all done together. It's just not going to happen. So I guess in relation to this particular motion to amend, I would urge you to vote it down at this time and perhaps bring it up after the National Standard 1 guidelines come out.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What order here. The biggest complaint that I had at the very beginning of my getting on this council was the culture of failure that pervaded the council, the agency, all the way to the top. All I ever heard was why something can't be done. I never heard anybody give a straight argument on how to take something difficult and actually do it. Single species management has led us to a plethora of plans. We wind up jumping from crisis to crisis, and I love Tom's expression, whack-a-mole, because that's what we've been doing, crisis to crisis, so that all of our resources are used to put out these fires, and that means that now the fires keep us from doing the one thing that gets us off the merry-go-round. Single species management hasn't worked. We all know it. We need to segue into ecosystem management in order to get off the merry-go-round. We need to have something other than failure. We need to have some long-term, linked together, one after another, successes. And we're not going to get it as long as we keep doing nothing but putting out fires and then saying, well, we have to put out fires so we can't do the one thing that'll put the fires out. As far as the National Standard 1 guidelines is concerned, I'm sure we can have some input to how that's structured. And the ecosystem management itself, Mike Fogarty has given us a hell of a good plan on how to proceed and is willing to guide us as we move through it. And I look at the publications like the one that I mentioned the other day when Bill Karp was talking, his ecosystem analysis that they do every year. That's a superb piece of information to start with. And as Matt says, we've got these things are there that we can put together and make it work. And ultimately, it's the only thing we're going to do that's ever going to get us out of this rat race.
John Bullard.
I've spent a lot of time on marine spatial planning, And I'm a fan of ecosystem-based management, motherhood, and apple pie. And I applaud the work, as I said before, of the executive committee. President Kennedy said to govern is to choose. We have to make choices here. And Paul said, laid out what the choices are. Now, I listened to a great presentation made by Rich Seagraves at the Mid-Atlantic Council on ecosystem-based management. And I looked at, you know, an investment, a choice made to invest resources in ecosystem-based management. And I saw an investment in staff time in ecosystem-based management by a staff person. And it, you know, it, you saw what was going to be involved in getting away from whack-a-mole into ecosystem-based management. All the benefits that Dave and Tom talked about. You know, it wasn't going to happen overnight. You could see down the road what was there, the promised land. But you could also see, all right, here's a staff person, a very competent staff person who was doing this and not doing something else. And I don't know, Mr. Chair, you could tell us what percent of the staff of Rich's time, what percentage of the budget the Mid-Atlantic said we're going to invest in ecosystem-based management to do that. But it wasn't free. Matt said, you know, we've got all the pieces. They can be stitched together. But they don't stitch themselves together. You know, you have to invest in staff time for the stitchers. And that means you take them off some other job so that they can stitch. What job do you take them off of? That's the question. So if we want to go down that road, then to govern is to choose. What do we take them off of? The choice presented by the executive committee is we take them off whiting and skates. All right? So I think the amendment is let's take them off whiting and skates. That was the choice presented, and do ecosystem. Not add. At least as the executive committee said, it's not, we don't do both because we're not adding, right? It's one or the other, not one and the other, one or the other. So that's to govern is to choose, one or the other, not one and the other. So one and the other makes us feel good, but it's not reality, it's one or the other. So what's more important?
I have Matt McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not entirely 100% convinced that developing ecosystem-based management at this time is incompatible under our current national standard number one. First off, it is going to take a lot of work, but frankly, the question we have is to do we keep bailing or do we fix the hole in the boat? And it seems to me that we need to fix the hole in the boat. And if that's what we need to do, it's going to take the time. I understand that. It's going to take resources. I understand that. We've just plowed a lot of resources into examining whether or not to open up the mortality closers. We had no problem doing that. And I understand that. That is important. It's an important issue that we needed to address. This is also an important issue we need to address. Actually, if I can make a distinction a little bit finer. Closed area access, it was an urgent issue that needed to be addressed. This is important, and if we don't do it soon, it's also going to be urgent. And the question is, do we want to rush it, or do we want to do it right? I agree it's going to take time, it's going to take money, but the sooner we start it, the sooner we can get it done and get it done right. I'm hearing this from the people on the docks, and they're wondering why we're not talking about it here in the council meetings. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the question in front of the council, and it relates to this, but it's somewhat different, is the same question that's in front of NIMS. How do you shift from doing less with less to doing more with less? And in addition, in my mind, to a number of very real ecosystem biological benefits of an ecosystem-based approach, benefits to the industries, benefits to the resource, benefits to the ecosystem itself, There's also tremendous benefits and cost savings if you get out of the approach that we've taken, which is, how many FMPs do we have? Like a million? And create streamlined management. I mean, if you could, if, you know, we have this list all the time. It's got, you know, all these bullets, all these divisions that don't actually need to be there and that actually are making more work for us. How do we shift from doing less with less to more with less? We need to change how we approach our FMPs. That's part of ecosystem-based fisheries management. And we're never going to get more. I mean, for the short term, we're dealing with less. So how do we get done what we need to provide the services to the industry and to the resource? Well, we need to figure out a different way to do that. And part of that is EBFM. And that's why I think it is so important. And I think, you know, Paul made the case that if resources were stable, perhaps we could do both. If. And, you know, it is a significant if. But why choose to make this decision now that we're not going to pursue it? We might have the resources to do it, and if we do, we absolutely should. Somebody said, you know, we can't fix everything because of the National Standard 1 guidelines. I think Matt spoke to that point. But the fact that we can't fix everything all at once, I don't think is a good reason not to start fixing things. We didn't fix groundfish yesterday, but we certainly worked hard on it. You know, we can't fix ecosystem-based management or all the issues that we have with various constraints, but we can start, and I think we absolutely should.
I have Laura Ramson, Doug Grout.
I had a question on the priorities not related to ecosystem management. Just under the groundfish portion, because it is part of the motion that we're putting this as a priority, we do have considered trading of quota under the USCA Canada Understanding TMGC. I just want to make sure that that is not just a conversation about quota, that that also incorporates a conversation about the actual formulas that we're working under, as well as potentially, you know, revisiting the yellowtail. Well, that's 2013. Never mind. But that we would be also having conversations with them about the formulas, because I think we heard a lot yesterday about that they could be antiquated, and that's something that we should address under our conversations with them in 2013.
I'm sure the conversations have already begun about whether there's an agreement at all. So given the headlines today in the Gloucester Times and others, yes, there are conversations between our relationship with Canada.
Doug Grout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As most of the council members know, I've been a very strong supporter of ecosystem-based management here. I've always voted to have this above the line and have been very frustrated by the brush fire management sometimes that we get into that have put that have delayed action on ecosystem-based management. And the same thing has happened with Amendment 18 to the groundfish. That was put as a priority and voted on more than once by this council to be a top priority here, and we have gone very little. We have moved very little on that. So I'm very much in support of what the executive committee came up with for an option here. The list of items here is very impressive that we have listed to do here, 26 of them. That's a huge amount for that kind of staff, and I can understand why the executive committee was telling us to say choose one or the other, because we already got 26 items that we're going to be working on with this staff. That is huge. And so I am going to make a motion to substitute or a motion to amend would be more appropriate that
We're already too deep.
Too deep? Okay. Then I guess we'll have to vote on this. But I think that we have to make a choice here. What do you want? What is the priority? I'm hearing a lot of people saying that ecosystem-based management is the priority here. So what do you want to put below the line here? As I've told the people, some of the people I've been discussing with, this regional planning body, that's been put forward with very little or no money to do a huge, huge task. And the words I had, if you want to do this, temper your expectations. So if this amendment passes, I'm going to say to everybody that is going to support this, temper your expectations. Now, if you want to do ecosystem-based management right, I strongly suggest that we choose what we're going to put below the line instead.
Anyone else on the council? Dave Gaethel and Rick Robbins.
I have to agree with Doug. I thought the original motion was too ambitious, quite frankly. I don't think we can do it. And I don't think we should give people false expectations that we can. I think we have to hack away at the original list before we even consider adding anything else, and hack away fairly substantially across all the species. I don't think you can do five or six things in any given species at the same time and have any hope of getting them done. I've been at this long enough to know how hard it is to do one thing at a time. I don't think we have to belabor this, but I would urge people long and hard to think about adding anything, and then I would hope we go back to the original motion and start subtracting, because I think that's what has to be done.
Anyone else? One more, Tom?
Just very quickly, I just wanted to point out this does include the language with available support. So I think if you're worried about available resources and that's your reason for not voting for this, we're pursuing this to the extent that we have support and resources to do so. So I think we should vote this up, and that's all I'll say.
Anyone else? Last bite of the apple.
Rip.
You're on. Oh, I'm Rick. I'm sorry.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to follow on John Bullard's comments about the yellowtail quota and the agreement with the Canadians. Yesterday, we did have a lot of discussion about the transboundary agreement, the fact that it was developed well before Magnuson was reauthorized. And I appreciate the fact that the yellowtail recommendations by this council will necessarily force some discussion with the Canadians. But I still think it would be helpful to formally request a review and essentially an updating of that agreement, because I think the way it's set up right now, it's impossible for the U.S. to preserve its interest in that joint agreement. I just submit that it would be helpful to pursue a formal review and update of that agreement. I know the recommendations on the specific yellowtail quota will force some discussion, but again, we discussed that yesterday. I think there's a need to pursue that strategically and move forward to try to update that agreement. Thank you.
Just to update it, what was put on the table, I think it will be at least some opening discussions at the intersessional or at the U.S.-Canada Steering Committee meeting. Matt McKenzie.
I'll pass, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? On the motion to amend, all those in support, so indicate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I get 9. 9. 5 in favor, 9 opposed. Abstention, 1. The motion to amend fails. We're back on the main motion. Further discussion. George.
Just one point of clarification, because it may not be explicitly incorporated in this. But when Paul was speaking, I think he said that the council does want us to continue on the omnibus baseline replacement amendment, and to the extent any council resources are necessary, you will support that. Is that correct? Thank you.
Correct. Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion, so indicate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Opposed? Abstention? Passes unanimously. That concludes our last agenda item. Is there any other business to come before this? Terry Alexander.
I kind of wanted to go back to during the public listening session.